7 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. This is, of course, the Mike Malloy Show. Got a call from Mike a little earlier this afternoon, and of course, when you have little kids in school, they come home with whatever's at school. And since the school has, hundreds of people in it, you're likely to get hundreds of people's worth of bad business. So he's not feeling so well tonight. Put out some good mojo, some white light for Mike, and he'll be back in a flash. I know last night he was in super rare, well, not really rare form. He's always in excellent form, completely wound up. And aren't we lucky, by the way, to have people like Mike Malloy, people who since the beginning of talk radio, as we have been enjoying it in the last number of years, have been consistently on our side. Never has he become like some people. I'm a Republican. Tomorrow I'm a Democrat because that way I can get a job. He has had pure integrity. So like you, like me, you know, we are so lucky to be connected to this guy. And I want to point out that one of the things he was talking about last night, we'll get to it in just a minute because I was actually there. 18 to 20,000 people showed up, and a revolution started today in Los Angeles. It's been all over the news media. There's been blood. It is really incredible. And all I could say is don't invite me to your rally because stuff may happen. And first, I just want to celebrate, as we all have, the election of Mr. Obama. President-elect Obama. Whoever thought in our lifetimes we would be able to say such a thing? Whoever thought in our lifetimes we would have an African-American in the White House? You know, they built the place. It's now time for them to live there. It's been way too many hundreds of years of hot standby for this stuff. I was at the airport at LAX coming back from New York a couple of nights ago, and, you know, for 6 hours on the plane, had no idea what was going on. I mean, we're all out there voting madly. Things are happening, and you're stuck in Delta, which, by the way, they're not ready when you are. You have to be ready when they are, only 2 hours late. So I got back, and I'm walking through the airport, and on the monitors, you know, they have CNN airport version or whatever, they announced that early on in the game, none other than Obama had won. And I'll tell you, I have never seen such wild histrionics in my life. Exciting? Are you kidding? I'm still horripilating. I'm still looking at excitement and goosebumps on my arm. There was shrieking and shouting echoing down the hallways of LAX, which is, you know, as big an airport as Earth has ever known. You know, basically JFK times two. Massive. You can hear shrieking. The people were jumping up and down, dancing in the airport. I couldn't believe it. I was so proud. It's what democracy looks like. It's what happens for all of our hard work year after year. You and me, Mike, everybody, for 8 years we've been pushing for this. It finally happens. So what happens? TSA stands in the middle of the hallways with their arms crossed and won't let anybody through until we, quote, calm down. Naughty, naughty democracy. Stop. Do not cross the line. Stay, you know, this kind of thing. That was the only downtime. And you know what? They didn't care. They marched right through. TSA stood there in their usual Coke bottle glasses and sensible shoes, not knowing what to do, endlessly confused, showing how make-believe the whole thing is. It was an extraordinary, exquisite moment. I got to share it en masse by people who all found out exactly at the same time and hadn't been, you know, warmed up to it as so many of you were sitting in, you know, Irish pubs or town halls or whatever, watching on huge monitors together, getting ready, getting ready, getting ready. We had no idea. So it literally was like a gigantic martini. So I'm just so proud of everybody who has suited up and shown up for their own civil rights, for their own president, their own future. And we have to remember one thing, and it's critically important, is that this president is going to inherit extraordinary powers, powers we have never seen before in this republic. And these are because of George W. Bush and because of swinging Dick Cheney. Woohoo! Impeach now, right? Because of these two guys, they have usurped, they have misread, they have shredded that GD piece of paper, as Bush directly referred to the Constitution, and have created an extraordinary executive branch that overshadows everything. NORTHCOM, Northern Command, as you know, has put troops on U.S. streets in plain clothes to the tune of 30,000 now as of October the 1st, a sort of light occupation. If you heard me a few weeks ago, I was in for Mike. We talked about martial law and the lead up to that. This is just one example. And with that, extraordinary executive powers. The problem here is that Mr. Obama will inherit these extraordinary executive powers. It is up to us to urge him to do the right thing, which is to restore the executive branch to a constitutional government, not a constitutional monarchy, which is what we have right now. And I know that that has not been any of the pundits' language. That has not been on MSNBC or anywhere else where people are yapping. It just seems all swell. But this is equally frightening because we don't know where it could go. We don't know if something were to happen to Mr. Obama, something unfortunate given the unfortunate Klan rally like attitude that seems to be going on in this country. We just don't know. So it's really important when Tommy Jefferson and Benny Franklin, who, by the way, had over 80 prostitutes at his particular brothel in Philadelphia. Now, there was a goer. He had no problem taking what he called moon baths, chubby, naked, under the rays of the moon, soaking up all of his intelligence. You know, these guys thought long and hard about what happens when a guy gets too much power. And looking at history, way back, you know, too much of it tastes just too good. So it's important for us to remind our new president that he actually is our employee, and we are no longer the employees as we have been for the last 8 years. And in no way am I dissing the guy. In no way is it about him personally. It's simply about bringing back our country under the Constitution, where you and I can truly feel secure. Now, I want to congratulate Mike last night on totally nailing what was going on, and I have to take some unfortunate responsibility here for being a little naughty last night. And I'm going to tell you what happened. About 20,000 gay people showed up last night, and they showed up to scream about this Proposition 8. And in short, what Proposition 8 is it codifies into language that marriage is specifically between a man and a woman. Now, I'd really love to see the state of California, by the way, if two guys go in and one says, well, I'm a woman. You'd have to prove it. Are they prepared to have that bit of business going on a couple of miles down the road, 1,000 naked people having to prove? I don't think so. So lots of complications, but all is not lost because really it doesn't have as much teeth in it as it appears. And I'm going to talk about the gay community a little bit, of which I happen to be a member because I am TW that way. And I was so proud last night to see a truly, apparently, narcissistic bunch, my folks, who tend only to show up when it's about us getting married. What war? Didn't know there was one, et cetera, et cetera. You know, queer eyeing, creating your sofas, doing your hair and nails, et cetera, whatever the stereotype is. But a true revolution has happened today, and I mean blood has been drawn. Thousands of people showed up. And what happened last night is during this thing, we had the usual customers, the usual sort of gay leaders up there, which tend to be people from the church. And this is a big problem because it was the people from the church who were behind Proposition 8. So how do we fight that? We get up and say, no, God is on our side. And they say, no, God is on our side. No, he's on. What does that sound like to you? Why not have our religious clerics? Why not bring in our Ayatollah? No, Allah's on our side. No, Jesus is on. It is completely insane. This has to be a legal matter. And so I was on the NBC News last night here, and they said, well, what's the next step? And I said, well, the obvious next step is for us, and I'll just inject this here. The Mormon Church injected $15 million into Proposition 8 in California. $15 million to really hoodwink the electorate, to make up this thing that really was untrue. And I said, our next step is we must storm the Mormon Temple in L.A., which is the size of the Empire State Building, storm it as if it were the Bastille. And tomorrow around 2, we're going to show up by about 6,000 strong and storm it. Well, I was just sort of kidding, running my puss there. Today, thousands of people. They're still there. The riot squads were there, tear gas. They closed off the 405. We'll get to that. We have an eyewitness on the phone. We're going to talk to him in a minute and then take a bunch of your calls. This is Stonewall Part 2. This is a real revolution in the streets with people getting their asses kicked. 800-989-1480. It's the Mike Malloy Show. Harrison with you. It is 16 minutes past the hour. Minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It is the Mike Malloy Show. Mike's got a bit of a cold. It's going around all over the place. You probably know at least a dozen people suffering through it now. He's going to be spick and span and back in a flash. And we're taking a look at something that he got into in depth last night, so brilliantly analyzing it and absolutely nailing it. I was there as an eyewitness and ended up running my puss on the news last night, the TV news, and announcing that, well, when they asked, what's the next step? And I said, well, we need to storm the Mormon temple like the Bastille. And alas, it has happened today. A videographer is online with us. We're going to get to him in just a second. He was an eyewitness. This was a true uprising for civil rights. This looks like a mini Selma, Alabama. This looks like stuff we've seen in black and white. This looks like stuff around the Vietnam War. And we're talking by the thousands and thousands of people. And what precipitated this is last night when I went to this rally on No on 8, 8 in a nutshell, was the Mormon Church raising $15 million and getting people to take away the right for gays to get married, a civil rights issue, because the state of California back last June ruled that the 14th Amendment applies, that all men are created equal. And what this means is that people who are different from each other are equal. I know it seems a little convoluted, but different equals equal. For instance, a black person is different from a white person, but they're allowed to get married. And if you remember, before 1968, they were not. And the Supreme Court ruled that the 14th Amendment says that all people are equal. Therefore, you know, Catholics can marry Protestants and blacks and whites and Jews and Sarah Palin and Joe the Plumber. Equal with all the rest of us. And so that's what the California Supreme Court ruled. Well, this Proposition 8 is insane. And what they did is they used the religious bullet. What they did was load Jesus into a cannon and fire him, woo, up through the air, bam, onto the crowds, and perverting already wildly and deeply ignorant people into thinking they're going to go to hell if somebody 6 miles away gets married. I mean, when you think about it, the Mormon Church, right? The Mormon Church is saying that it was about traditional marriage, saving traditional marriage. Well, we should remind them that they created Utah because they needed a place for untraditional marriage, like 68 wives. That's what they're all about, untraditional marriage. So even that is a pile of BS. Next step, I propose, and I'm not the only one here, let's pull the Sundance Film Festival out of Utah. See ya. You want to play that game? Fine, because guess what Hollywood is full of? Oh, my. Now, a lot of this happened because during the festival, if you want to call it last night, the almost riot, we, my people, the gay people, did the same thing that the conservatives were doing. What do we do for our leaders? What do we do when we're talking about civil rights? What do we do when we talk about law? We bring up religious people. Huh? It drove me nuts. It's time to grow up. Church and state cannot intermingle. They cannot interfrasticate. They cannot robusticate o flagrante. They have no business touching each other for any reason without 200 feet of lead and cement. They are not to mix. I'm going to play you a little piece of audio. This is cut three. And what it is a woman screaming over a crowd of 20,000 people, introducing Congregation Kol Ami, where a rabbi started singing a chant, and then they bring up a priest, and all of them are talking about God and Jesus. What in hell does that have to do with anything? Remembering that marriage has nothing to do with a wedding. A wedding is pure ceremony done at a church. Pure showmanship having no, none, zero, zilch, no legal ramifications, no legal standing whatsoever. A wedding is pure show business. A marriage is a license by the state where you are then literally registered for tax purposes, for other purposes. They are not the same thing. So to bring up preachers in the middle of this and say how much Jesus loves us, what does that have to do with it? And then the conservatives, no, he's our Jesus. No, he's our Jesus. So take a listen to this. Cut three. It drove me nuts. The celebrities. Let's bring up 30 Catholic priests, 200 rabbis, because it's about civil rights. Oh, my God. And so that got me so incensed. And when the TV cameras came around, Channel 5 here, the NBC station, said, well, what are the next steps? And that's when I suggested we storm the Mormon temple like the Bastille, et cetera, et cetera. And today was extraordinary. By the way, you don't ever want to invite me to your parades, quite clearly. We're going to be talking to Sean Hallahan. He is a videographer, TV videographer. He is right there on the scene. It is still wild and out of control. Then we're going to go to Peter on Sirius Satellite, everybody else all over the place here on the Mike Beloy Show at 800-989-1480, 800-989-1480. Harrison with you, the Mike Beloy Show, 27 past. Minutes past the hour. Harrison with you, in for Mike Beloy. Mike's got a bit of a sniffles today. He'll be through it soon enough, we hope. Let me give out the phone numbers, 800-989-1480, 800-989-1480. Taking a look at a couple of events today, one of which is really rather magnificent because it is an all-out revolution, and it's happened in Los Angeles, and we're talking thousands of people storming the Mormon temple. I know it just sounds comedic, doesn't it? But for civil rights. I mean, and we're talking at least 50% of those totally cool straight people. Really amazing. You know, and black people and all the people, everyone is there and they really mean it. And all of this obviously has been paved by the Bush administration. This is clear blowback. This is clear reaction to the last 8 years of incredible oppression, suppression, and just having the presidents sitting there like the great lunatic that he is. Let's say hi to Peter on Sirius Satellite in Maine. And Peter, you're on the Mike Beloy Show with Harrison. Welcome. Peter, well, he should be there. Hey, Peter, are you there? Love the loop. How about Jeff in Kentucky? Jeff, you're on the Mike Beloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Hi. You know, the question I have is why are gays and lesbians pursuing this as a civil rights issue when it's clearly a freedom of religion issue? A marriage is a religious ceremony, and why?
No, it's not. But it's not.
It's a religious ceremony.
No, it's not. A wedding is a religious ceremony. A marriage is a licensing by a state for tax purposes, for inheritance purposes. It is a legal contract with a state having nothing, and I'll underscore that again, nothing to do with the baby Jesus.
Before the government started issuing marriage licenses, people were married by in weddings by religious leaders, pastors, preachers, whatever. So
yeah, but we're not living in 1483, my friend. This is post-Reformation. This is the United States of America.
In the United States, marriage started after the Civil War. The marriage license started after the Civil War as a way to keep whites from marrying blacks. So I don't know what you're talking about in the 14th.
Well, you know what? You don't know what you're talking about, my friend. And 1480 was a number I threw out to be slightly jocular. The point being is that marriage is a civil issue. It is about being licensed by the state as a wedded couple, having a wedding itself. That may be religious if you want. Buddhists may do it on the beach under an umbrella, having nothing to do with a formal wedding, such as you may have been raised. That's a ceremony. This is a legal issue. The 14th Amendment, very clearly, very unambiguously, very non-wishy-washy, says that all people are equal. How can you, my friend, you be allowed to be married by the state and I cannot? And please tell me exactly why you think I should not be allowed to get married. Go ahead.
Well, Look, I didn't say you couldn't get married. I said
no. You didn't say I couldn't, but you don't think.
I said I don't understand. You think it's a religious issue? I said I don't understand why you pursue it in the courts as a civil issue when it's clearly a religious issue. And I do know what I'm talking about. The marriage license in the United States was not issued until after the Civil War.
We're talking 2008. Marriage is now
history of America.
Well, we can all live back in the dark ages with you if you'd like, but I think being an Australopithecine, monobrowed, hospitalist knuckle walker is not the right. You know, Civil War notwithstanding, fine. I mean, a lot of things happened around the Civil War. Should we bring back slavery? Because that was the original intent? Should we get rid of the 16th Amendment? Shall we take away women's right to vote? Because that's highly inconvenient. You know, before 1900 and the suffragettes, you know, things were pretty good, weren't they? And, you know, why not go back to the original intent of a lot of things? Why have handicapped parking? Why have special elevators to help people out? In fact, why have education at all? The original intent was, if you want one, go out and get it yourself. We're not going to help you. And so the infrastructure's a little weak, like it is today because of lack of education. The fact is, it is now, my friend, we either progress or we regress. That part is a choice. Ask anybody, ask any lawyer about marriage being a religious discipline, and you'll find that the state does not stand there with a tea cozy on its head swinging incense while you're filling out the application getting a blood test. Unless, of course, you're donating blood at your local church so they can find out if there's creepy crawlers in there. I really don't think so. Let's say hi to Russ on KTLK in Los Angeles. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Who's that?
Hey there.
Hey, what's happening, Harrison?
Just doing it, my friend.
Well, I'll tell you, I got married September 20th on the beach to a wonderful man, and this guy from Kentucky is talking out of his rear orifice. Marriage started in history before religion as a way of uniting families vis-a-vis property and power in a community.
We know that men used to own women.
And lots of them.
Men, well, like in Utah.
Was polygamous. Read the Old Testament.
That's right.
You want to go tradition? Apply Levitican law.
Well, then I ate shrimp last night, so I may get stoned.
Okay, I'm coming over there with an AK-47, my friend. And here's the other thing. Religions got into marriage because it was convenient to announce in a church that people were uniting their families and therefore were off the market. And by the way, they have all this money and power amassed, so stay off their ass.
Yeah.
And the idea of the Holy Sacrament is very recent, and the idea of marrying for love only started in the Victorian era. So don't, and besides, we're talking about civil marriage. I was married in a civil ceremony by a preacher who promised a non-denominational ceremony because I'm an atheist. But the fact is, he blessed our marriage, and I was glad for the blessing. But
right,
the
right.
Is,
the state of California.
In limbo now.
The state of California did not turn you away because you're an atheist. Therefore, it cannot be a religious ceremony. The syllogism is clear. If P, then Q. If atheist, it doesn't mean you can't get married.
That's right. I mean, Britney Spears got married the first time drunk off her butt in Las Vegas and had it annulled 55 hours later.
And what's wrong with that?
You know what? And what's wrong with that, Mary? I'll talk to you later, sir.
All right, my friend.
Glad to hear you on the radio again, by the way.
Thank you. It's a treat. All right, my friend. Peace back to you. How about Barb in Cave Creek, Arizona? You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, it's been disturbing here in Arizona because we're the only state that went further to the right during this election. And we had a thing in our, you know, an anti-gay marriage, really just a man and a woman are the only two people who can get married in the state of Arizona. But it reminds me of Loving versus Virginia, which was the black and white problem of 1958 when they arrested the couple, the integrated couple, because it was illegal for them to get married in Virginia. And it was overturned in, it took like 10 years to overturn this.
That's right.
And it really is pretty much, it's the same thing. And it is a civil ceremony. And it really is a matter of rights. And I'm a single female, and I'm in pretty much the same position.
Missionary or otherwise.
Who's gonna help me in the hospital? I mean, who's, you know, all of these rights should just be able to be in a civil ceremony.
Yeah, it really is abundantly clear when we think about it. But remember the equation with our friend from Kentucky and the conservatives who voted so, you know, lockstep without using their brains. The equation they use is E over I, emotion over intellect.
Oh, yeah.
And you and Mike's listeners and people that listen to Nova M and the rest of it are I over E, intellect over emotion. So it's an inverse equation. And that's the problem, is we try to talk to them, negotiate with them, navigate the shoals of their insanity using, you know, hopefully facts and logic and compassion. And they're just literally, you know, grunty and boorish, and it's all about how they feel
right,
that
well,
day.
Right, well, it's very fear-based. And I think, unfortunately, something has to be said about the fact that there are certain cultures, i.e., Latino, you know, black cultures that really aren't friendly to the gay cause either. And through, you know, fear and ignorance as well. And there was a big amount of them in these elections that came out. And I'm kind of curious to see how they voted, because they may not have, they may be ambivalent and not understand the issue.
Right.
And there they are. You know, and they bring out this issue for that in this election to not only bring out the base for the Republican right-wing religious, but they also have, you know, a lot of Catholic Latinos. And, you know, there's that. Because I was really amazed.
Got to move on, honey. But listen, thank you so much for showing up and giving your piece, okay?
Yeah, honey. Take care.
All right. Take care of yourself. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, a lot of conservatives, they love adult supervision. They love to be told how to think. It's this jolliness with authoritarianism. We're going to be talking to Sean next. He's hanging on the line, a wonderful activist, a brilliant man, a very spiritual man, a gay man who's been part of this amazing and complex demonstration with a capital D, I'll put it that way, all over Los Angeles. He's an awesome guy. You're going to want to hear his voice. He's live on the scene. Plus, we'll talk to Ron on KTLK, Angela, Dave, Sirius, and everybody else at 1-800-989-1480. The Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. 60 minutes past the hour. It's the Mike Malloy Show. Harrison in with you. By the way, I don't pick the music. That's my friend Ian in our Nova M Network headquarters.
Hey, hey, hey.
I would have picked like a tuba solo or something, I think. Oh, my. Harrison here with you from our Nova M Hollywood studios. And, of course, we are talking about what's going on primarily in Los Angeles, which has exploded much as Compton did some 10, 15 years ago with thousands of people showing up. We're going to say hi quickly to Sean. Sean is a TV videographer, and he's on the scene and has been all day when the Mormon temple was stormed. Sean, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, Harrison, how's it going?
Going good. Especially, I mean, I am so proud to see this insurrection, this uprising, this exciting by the thousands people descending for their rights.
This is history in the making. I've never imagined or seen anything like it. And I'm the kind of guy who was very critical of the gay culture as well. And I'm so impressed. And I really feel like I'm part of something transformative. The fact that Prop 8 did not work out for us might be to our advantage in a way, because it's waking up a lot of people that didn't care about this issue before.
Well, you know,
like me.
It's interesting. Last night we were talking because I know you socially. Wow, is this a conflict of interest? I have no idea. And one of the things we were doing, we were talking about the fact that kept bringing up preachers and all that. How do we motivate the gay culture? How do we do it? How do we do it? And, you know, you and I knocked noggins, and alas, this thing has happened today in an explosive way by running our pusses on TV and suggesting we storm the Bastille and all these other things. The cops were out there with tear gas. They closed the freeways. I mean, how huge did this get?
Before, you know, I'm the first guy to fear the police. I'm into all the whole, like, you know, conspiracy imperialism thing. So I was frightened at first. They came out in force. But at first I saw a guy with tear gas, and they were approaching, and we started screaming, shame on you, shame on you. Came up with the tear gas, and I was rallying everybody, hey, that's tear gas. And people got really upset. And then all of a sudden the cops started to comply and help us and guide us. And the large march, there was a lot of people. And this march, we went around Mormon Temple first, and then all of a sudden everyone poured into the streets and said, we're going to block the 405. And they were headed down Santa Monica Boulevard en masse to take over the 405 freeway. And the police did not allow that to happen. So the police started pulling all their motorcycles up and blockading and forcing us to make right turns. But we maintained the street. We owned the street. The streets were completely blocked off for miles upon miles at rush hour in Los Angeles. And this was our right. And at one point, we were stopped, and the police were insisting billy clubs drawn, everything, the armor. And it was the little tiny, tiny lesbians that were, like, vaulting themselves through the police. They're demanding to continue. And I was saying, don't do it, because I know the police have the clubs. They're going to get violent. Don't incite violence. I was really afraid. But the people stormed the police, and the police let them through. The most incredible thing is when we were held back at one point by the police for an extended period of time, that's when the females started to storm the police, but were held back. And all of a sudden, in a military tactical situation, when you're blockaded, you kind of take the back route. And that's exactly what happened. We're all standing there thinking we're stopped for the day. And then we see signs and placards coming at us from the other direction. The gays were coming down from behind the cops. And we took over the whole street and flooded them.
Yeah, gave a little queer eye, huh?
I'll tell you, there was one sign. There were so many witty signs. You know, these gays can be so witty and sharp. But there was one sign that really summed it up, and it said, no more Mr. Nice Gay.
Well, you know what? When in doubt, agitate it out, right? And it's time. And, you know, this is truly, after 8 years of Bush, I think people, as Howard Beale would say on Network, are mad as hell and not going to take it anymore. And when you literally, if you never had rights and there was nothing to take away, it sucks. But when you actually got them for the first time in your living life, where you actually were recognized by the Supreme Court, not only as a protected class, but literally what they ruled in California is that gay people are actually human, using that word, actually fully human, just as our African Americans back in 1964 were ruled as being fully human. It's huge. If you took that away, then it suddenly becomes wildly incendiary.
Well, I really didn't think this was an issue. I thought it was a distraction issue to distract people from the election or this or that. But I was walking down the street the other day, and I was personally harassed in West Hollywood by a bunch of Latinos or Mexican Latinos, you could tell, and they were carrying signs that said yes on 8, and they were calling me faggot. And I'm thinking, these people are the people that are fighting for their rights to maintain citizenship in the United States. And you know, what? Why does their fight count? And my, and suddenly, like, I don't have rights?
Yeah,
and I'm
well,
below them?
You know, Sean, it's what we don't really often examine, and we certainly don't get to discuss it too often amidst and amongst each other. But what happens is they're told by their religious leaders that if they don't go along with this, they get to languish in hellish flames for the rest of eternity. And, you know, if you believe, if you have really intense religiosity and religious scruples, you don't question that stuff. You're just going to do what you're told.
Yeah, but these people aren't being righteous. They're being grossed out, which is really immature. It's just fear. And there was one bit of violence today. I told you that the police started, it was announced by the leader of Pride, and I don't know his name. He announced, you know, don't rush the police anymore. The police are going to be helping us, you know, with the mayor's help. We deserve the right to protest. We were actually given the right to protest. The crowd did not like being guided by the police and started to steer itself and outran the police several times. It was pretty cool. And we did a sit-in in the middle of Wilshire Boulevard intersection.
If you've ever been to L.A., and we're talking to Sean Holohan, thank you so much for the live report. I know you're still on the scene, right?
Well, I got to my car just so I have some silence to talk to you, but Santa Monica Boulevard is still bumper to bumper for miles.
Miles of people.
Yeah.
This is happening live right now in Los Angeles. Be my proxy, Sean. Get back out there and do the good deed as an American citizen, my friend.
Right on, Harrison. Talk to you soon, man.
All right. Take care, pal. We've got Angelica in Germany, International. We've got Ron on KTLK, Alexandra KTLK, Kevin on Sirius, Michael in KTLK, and all the rest of you at 800-989-1480, 800-989-1480. Harrison with you. You can say hi anytime you'd like. GoHarrison.com, one word. It's the Mike Malloy Show, 57 past.
I'm Reverend Ted Haggard. I used to fight my homosexual urges every single second, but not anymore with Once Daily Not Gay at All.
Not Gay at All is clinically proven to fight your latent tendencies.
Just one pill in the morning, I don't even think about a sweaty, shirtless Matthew McConaughey until the next morning while I'm lying alone in bed thinking about... Where's my pill bottle?
Not Gay at All is the number one treatment for those urges you've had since the fifth grade.
Thanks to Not Gay at All, my doctor says I'm now completely straight. Isn't that right, Doc? You done back there?
Yep. A clean bill of health.
Not Gay at All should not be taken with crystal meth or in the presence of a gay prostitute. Side effects are rare, but include headaches, nausea, Republican Party memberships, and an occasional oily discharge.
Ask your doctor if you're gay enough for Not Gay at All.
If urges keep you from living the life you've created, purge the urge with Not Gay at All.
Harrison on the Edge.
7 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It is the Mike Malloy Show. Mike, as you know, has a bit of the sniffles tonight. Gave me a call this afternoon. So happy to be here with you. And he's on the mend. We're taking a look at something truly extraordinary going on right now. A real, honest-to-God revolution live in Los Angeles. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people. I'm getting text messages all over the place. People are backed up in traffic miles long. In Beverly Hills, there are huge factions of people out in the streets on Wilshire Boulevard in the mid-Wilshire District, in West Hollywood, in Santa Monica, all over this huge city. This is a 50-mile-long suburb. People are out demonstrating. And the cops and tear gas, the freeway was closed earlier, the 405. It is exciting. It's also quite serious. And I think it's important. I was thinking about that guy that called in earlier from Kentucky. And it occurs to me, you know, this whole gay business is a foreign object to him. he probably really doesn't understand why it's important, because he's not that. Just like if you're not black, perhaps you don't understand what black people have to go through. And let's just take an example, make an easy analogy, okay? And then we're going to jump to the phones immediately. Let's say you're a black guy, and I've talked to lots who've told me this story. You're walking on the sidewalk, and a white woman and her child are on the other side of the sidewalk. She clutches her purse, pulls her child in, and steps around you. And imagine every single day of your life, this is what happens when you're walking down the sidewalk. It's really, really difficult. And when you're a gay person, where you've been raised, and it's not just that we hate you, that God wants you dead, that you are the worst thing that has ever lived on earth, that you are excrement, that you are vile, that you are an abomination, that you are a Moabite. You love that one? Talk about archaic. This is what you think you are until you learn differently. Because, you know, when you're growing up, like any of us, we're sort of like laptops, and all we have is the programming that's put on us. And so I'm really talking to you, whatever your sort of personal thing is that maybe you don't want the world to know about, or maybe you're personally afraid of, you know, all you have is your programming. And until it upgrades, you know, from Windows 95 to a Mac, and you become congruent with your nature, you're stuck in that. You know, Billy Shakespeare, right? Hamlet? No, that was, I'm thinking of, no, that's, whatever. Billy Shakespeare, to thine own self, that was Hamlet. To thine own self be true. Very important, congruency with nature. It's a real human imperative. So when you grow up knowing that if you go outside and you tell people what you are, and you're going to get a little Matthew Shepard, a little tied to a fence, you know, choked to death, left there bleeding for dead, ridiculed, it's a horrible way to live. Your self-esteem is very low. You have no founding fathers. You have no role models. You have nobody saying, you know what, it's okay. It's okay, and it's very difficult. We now know through UCLA, we know through some BBC reports, that they can now change the sexual orientation of fruit flies by raising and lowering the temperature. It is now absolutely empirically proved it is a biological phenomenon having nothing to do with a bad choice on a Thursday. The religious right would have you think that somebody wakes up on Tuesday morning, I think I'll be gay. I don't think so. I don't think so. Ask somebody who is fully, completely, unequivocally straight, and ask them to try to go and have a gay moment. You know what? The equipment simply doesn't respond. You can choose all you want. That dog don't hunt. We know this all intuitively. And one of the things I've gotten to do, because I used to be in the closet, and I always had girlfriends, and I was really lucky. I had amazing girlfriends, really amazing ones. And when I finally came out about 10 years or so ago, I went back and looked up all of my old girlfriends and apologized to them for human theft. Because what I had done, when I look at it today, is unconscionable. You know, I had dated them under false pretexts. You know, while I really liked them a lot, you know, they had the impression that maybe I was in love with them deeply, that I wanted to build a family with them, but I was never fully available for that. But I played the game, and I stole. I robbed them of their prime. I took away, when they could have been on the market, some guy who was just crazy about them, really wanted them, but they're being monogamous and loyal and not letting themselves be on the market. They deserved fully a guy who would throw rose petals at their feet, love them, adore them, build a wonderful family with them, and they were not available because they were with me. And I can never, never restore to them their biological clocks. I can never restore that opportunity to them. And so I've gone back and let them know if there was any question whether they thought it was that they weren't attractive or whatever when I lost interest. It was never them. It was me. And by becoming congruent with my own nature, by suiting up and showing up and standing up and saying this is who I am and trying to be the best person I can at that, no longer do I rob other people because I'm afraid. Because I listen to zealots. I listen to people who think that this is you know, burning witches is really a good idea now, or the Palinesque people who think that man and dinosaur walked side by side. This is the adult supervision we're under right now, in a true sense. So it's a very scary thing. Yes, if you live in L.A. or New York or Miami or Chicago, sure, being gay is fine. Being Jewish is fine. Being anything is fine. But when you go out into some certain rural areas, as any of these minorities, you really put your life in your hands every step you take. It's really frightening. That's why this is a big deal. Because when you feel, I mean, look, 18,000 couples, 18,000 in California have gotten married. And maybe they have children or maybe they want to adopt. How do they ever tell their children, you know what, we're not really human. You're really, how do you deal with this stuff? What if your marriage gets taken away? You're in love and you're committed. Committed. What a huge thing for anybody in 2008. And that gets ripped away from you. And you're told, even though you're a taxpaying American citizen, sorry, you're not even a second-class citizen. There isn't even a category for you. Go away. Imagine that day after day. That's why this is such a big deal for people, because it's really real and it really is about civil rights. It's really quite equivalent to what people have gone through throughout history. You know, coming into a place, grabbing hold, and becoming the same as others. And we, you know, whether we like it or not, this is Hotel Earth, and everyone gets a room, whether we like it or not. It's just a fact. It's a truth. And our founding fathers so brilliantly put that in writing in the clearest form, that all men are created equal. And yeah, we've buggered it throughout history. We had slavery. We had a lot of things that were contrary to that language, but it's really quite clear. So that's the quick upload on that. If you have any thoughts, you can always visit me anytime you want at goharrison.com. One word, goharrison.com. And I will write back to absolutely everybody, something I committed to do a long time ago. And it takes a little while, but it is totally worth it. Let's go to Germany and say hi to Angelika somewhere in Deutschland. Guten Abend, wie geht's? Was ist los?
Guten Morgen.
Danke. Wie spät ist es jetzt dort?
So?
Sehr gut.
I think we should continue. Deutsch spricht.
Danke, ich war in der Schule in der Schweiz auf dem Zuckerberg.
Ach, jetzt hör aber auf, wirklich.
But I think maybe it's politer if we use English.
Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, I'm not them, as you put it, but I can totally agree and put myself in the position and have empathy.
Yes.
And it must be a law. It is absolutely imperative that people that are, and I don't care what sex they are, if they're in a committed relationship, then they should have the protection of the state. They should have survivor benefits and whatever it takes. You know, they should have it legalized if they so wish. And I'm so proud of Sean and the crowd. I don't get to see this on TV here. I just have the CNN going, but they're not showing any of that.
No, but I'm sure you'll get to see a nipple ring tonight on a celebrity on CNN. I'd stay up for that.
It's already 4:15. But I do want to tell you, you know, you do need role models. We have, like, the mayor of Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
He is gay, and before he ran for office, he openly said, I'm gay, and that's okay. And he was elected, and he was reelected, you know, and he takes all his partner to all functions. And we have other politicians who are gay. We have big TV personalities, one of, like, Barbara Walters of that stature. She's a lesbian, you know, so it's not a big deal. It really isn't. And people just shrug it off. So what, you know? And, but, you know, it's, and I have many friends in the family too, you know, who are gay men, you know, lots of friends. And it does happen that I have my friend who has been married twice, and he finally decided, well, you know, he prefers men, and he's living in, you know, with a younger man. And my mother's cousin is in his 50s, and he lives with a guy in his 30s.
You know, it sounds like a straight couple, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's just normal, you know.
It really
but
is.
I do want to real quickly tell you about what you touched on in the beginning about marriage.
20 seconds,
Venus,
honey.
Ceremony, if I may.
Yes, 20 seconds.
Just recently, in Germany, it's been allowed that a priest or the church can perform wedding ceremonies, but it will not be a legal thing. So you have no legal protection. You have no right for alimony, anything like that.
All right. Thank you so much for calling from Germany. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show, 800-989-1480, 18 past. It is 23 minutes past the hour. The Mike Malloy Show. Harrison with you. We're talking about a real revolution that's happening live right now in Los Angeles. The streets are filled with people in multiple cities. They turned out and stormed the Mormon Temple, which is a massive erection on Wilshire Boulevard. I don't know how many stories high this thing is. It looks like a small Empire State Building, not like a church. And this was precipitated because last night, well, about 18,000 of us showed up to demonstrate that Prop 8 was passed, Prop 8 taking away the right of taxpaying American citizens, a certain specific group, from being allowed to get married, while other specific groups are allowed to get married. Which taxpayer should we disinclude this day? And it turns out that the Mormon Church had it put in $15 million behind this, and somehow they have a tax-exempt status, a 501(c). They don't pay taxes for changing the political climate. Isn't that just a little interesting? And yet here in Los Angeles, remarkably enough, a couple of years ago, you remember the Episcopal Church had a very progressive minister who was anti-war, and the IRS was all over them, famously. And that was on the news many, many times. So I guess it depends on whose side you are, whether or not the IRS cares. And perhaps that will change a little bit if we make it change under our new presidency. Of course, we have to suffer through a few more months of the chimp in chief, sadly. But as all good things, they go away. When in doubt, go on out. Go away. Go away. So we'll see. Let's say hi to... That's disgusting. What am I talking about? The call screening software that we have here in our Nova M Hollywood studios, they can put little smiley face icons, and this one has a big red tongue hanging out and swirling around. It's purple, actually. Highly offensive, but I think I like it anyway. Let's say hi to Ron on KTLK in Los Angeles. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Yeah. How are you doing? First thing I want to say is this. And I thank you for bringing this subject up again, because evidently they had it last night. And I don't want you to think that I'm homophobic or anything like that, because, number one, I could care less what two adults do in the privacy of their own rooms or the privacy of their own homes.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that the homosexual community has got to understand...
Let me stop you for a second. If you want to call it the homosexual, why don't we refer to blacks as Negroes then, and Jews as...
Come on. You're
No. Why don't you grow up, sir, and use the proper language?
What proper language you
what
want me
do
to call
you
them?
Think
the gay community?
Gay people call themselves?
Okay, let's go with the gay community.
Why
let's
not?
The gay community has to understand that it was not the Republicans who overturned, I'm sorry, it was not the Democrats who overturned the right for them to, the ruling in California.
Yeah, and it was not the Democrats.
It was the Republicans who overturned it that they can bring out their base for this election. Now, that's the first thing. The second thing is, The first thing the gay people often said is they wanted the civil union so that they can visit their lovers in the hospitals and so on and so forth.
Well, actually, they wanted marriage, not a civil union.
No, then it became civil union.
No, okay. But that was not the gay community. They didn't request a civil union.
Okay, so can I say...
Yeah, I'm going to have to put you on hold, okay? Nothing personal. We're just going to pop for a break for a second, and we will get back to you like good citizens. Stand by, all right? Harrison with you, Mike Malloy, show 27 past.
Because finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. Because finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution.
Tempting these women, drawing them into his web. When they're dancing, do you think they're thinking about Jesus? You can bet your life they're not. Jesus has no place on the dance floor. No, sir. That is the playground of the devil.
And you know what? People believe it. It's a beautiful thing. 34 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show. What a fun day in many ways. Fun meaning that the American people, lots of them, and we're not talking like just a bunch of gay folk. I'm talking about like thousands of straight people are marching with the gay people together for civil rights. There is a huge uprising happening right here, right now, live in Los Angeles, probably not being covered at all on CNN, just like when we brought Gandhi in here and did a parade for world peace loaded with movie stars a couple of years ago. We put that thing together. It took us, about 3 months to do it, and CNN couldn't be bothered until we send them a list of movie stars. Who's Gandhi? They said. But this thing is huge. It is a major, exciting Stonewall Part 2. Thousands of people in different cities all blocking traffic and going nuts for civil rights. Whether or not some people believe or agree or disagree, it's time for us to grow up and pay attention to what's true and what's real. We were talking to Ron a moment ago on KTLK in Los Angeles, and Ron, I want to let you finish as promised.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes. Now, as I was saying, the original concept of the gay community getting civil unions.
It's not the original concept.
But, sir,
why are you making stuff up?
Sir,
yes?
Can I get a word in, please?
You can get two words in, maybe a sentence.
You're kind of being like Sean Hannity.
Thank you. What a nice compliment.
Okay, but that's not a good compliment.
Oh,
though.
Really? I thought he was your hero by the way you're talking and what you're saying.
No, he's not my hero. He's
well, your content sounds like it is.
Well, no, if you allow me to finish, please.
Sure.
Okay, so they wanted civil unions because they were unable to visit their partners at hospitals. And then you had the issue of inheritance when one partner died. Civil unions were supposed to solve that. They got civil unions. Now it's marriage. Now they want to adopt children. Now the reason why you have the African-American community and the Hispanic community that are so loudly protesting this is because, number one, the vast majority of the children who wind up in the foster care system wind up in homosexual households.
Oh, community households. Well, yeah, no, you're right.
Okay, and that is one of the things that is peeving off the African-American community and the Hispanic community because they view that as genocide against them. Now, if we were to look at the gay rights issue, okay, from the standpoint of a human right, you have the human right to sleep with whomever you want.
Uh-huh.
But the gay people, what they're doing is they're pushing themselves on the heterosexual community, forcing it to be taught in schools.
Really?
Yes, it's true.
Really? What is being taught in school? We need your education here. What
okay,
exactly?
You've got gay rights courses. You've got now in certain schools.
What schools are you talking about? What certain schools? Go ahead,
list
them.
Unified school system.
I'm teaching about gay rights.
they're teaching about that, and they're also segregating the gay population from the heterosexual population under the auspices that they're being bullied. Now,
you seem to have you're fascinating. You have all this information. I just talked to the mayor, Antonio Villaraigosa, the other day, and this is brand new information. I think the mayor of Los Angeles might like to know. This is huge.
It is huge, sir.
You're the custodian of this special secret information.
I know more the custodian of this than you would be the custodian of the gay rights issue, sir. But we're talking about fairness. That is why there is a backlash, sir. Why is it that 95% of the African-American community voted for Obama, not because he's black, but because they vote Democrat anyway? 67% of the Hispanic community voted for Obama. But, however, when it came to pulling the ballot for Prop 8, they said yes on Prop 8.
Well, we know why.
Because their communities are the most affected by it. And the way you're going about it. Sir, and the way you're going about it in terms of attacking religion and attacking communities.
I'm attacking the people. I am simply.
You're not going to get anything to your cause, sir.
Well, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. May I ask you what your ethnicity is?
I don't think that has anything to do with it.
Oh, but
sir.
It does, doesn't it?
If I'm a white guy, what would that mean?
What I'm asking you is to be transparent so that we can understand with whom we're talking.
I'm an African-American.
Okay. So using your argument, you never should have marched on Alabama. You never should have gotten behind Martin Luther King because it would not have furthered your future.
No, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, so am I.
Okay, here's why. The African-American community, along with the Hispanic community have lost territory to Europeans historically. What country has the gay community lost through colonialism?
That's not answering the question.
And you can't compare their right, because the thing is, a gay person can hide that they're gay. A Hispanic person and a black person cannot hide that they're black or Hispanic.
So you like the fact that gay people should be hiding that?
No, I'm not saying that at all. But what you're doing is you're trying to compare your issue with mine, and I resent that. Can you compare
really?
What
well, I know you resent it. I could tell. So what you're saying is that gay people really aren't human beings the
no,
way African Americans.
Yes,
you are, my friend.
You are making the claim.
Beings? Listen
no,
to you. You are fully human. You have full rights. Full abilities and opportunities. And gay people should just step back. How dare anybody mention them in a school or see them on a sidewalk because they can hide and they should. Listen to what you're really saying. Why would I compare gays with the Holocaust? What are you talking about? Why would you make such an idiotic, ridiculous, invented equation there? What do you mean the Holocaust?
Because you're talking.
Do you know how many gays, if you want to talk about assassinations, do you know what happened in the 1100s, the 1200s, the 1300s? Why would I compare it? What does it have to do with you? It is about civil rights. It is about the 14th Amendment. It is about Thomas Jefferson, my friend, the 14th Amendment. I suggest you sit down, look at your Constitution, read the 14th Amendment. It says all men are created equal. Of course, the first part is you have to agree that gay people are actually human for you to decide that that's okay. But when you start a call, and we all know this, we're very savvy, when you start a call with, you know, I'm really not a bigot, but that's all people ever need to hear because you've already jumped off the high dive. Now look, I'm on your side. The fact is, you're not on other people's side because you're the most important person in the room, and you feel you always will be. And the fact is, this is Hotel Earth. Everybody gets a room. We only have one life. Each of us has one life. We may as well live it as who we are, because that's it. It ain't no dress rehearsal. There is no possibility for anything but one life. Be who you are. Be congruent with your nature. I invite you to do the same. I invite everybody to do the same. And I know it's difficult for you. I know you have objections one way or the other. I understand them. I don't agree with them, but the 14th Amendment, you either agree with it or you don't. And if you don't agree with it, by the way, you know, then you also must agree that a lot of things that have happened that are positive should be reversed. Because you, my friend, are like me. We are sitting in a boat with a hole in it and water rolling in. So as soon as you attack my people and want that boat to sink, you have opened up a huge hole in that ship for yourself. Because what affects one person under the Constitution affects all the persons under the Constitution. It's that simple. Hello? Are you there? Of course he hung up. Of course. Let's say hi to Michael in Los Angeles. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Hey, Harry. How are you?
I'm swell, as you can tell.
Yeah, it takes time.
Yes, it does. A mother's work is never done.
That's right. And, you know, it looks like there's these people that don't recognize that an attack on gay persons or bisexual or lesbian or whatever is an attack on women who decide to have an abortion. It's attack on people of color. It's attack on people who treasure their privacy. And it's an attack on everyone. And here we go again with the religious tyrants trying to get their foot in the door. And once again, I don't see, you know, the mainstream of California is completely opposed to this. Sometimes an initiative gets away, and if we have to put another one on it, call it the Popeye Initiative, I am who I am, come hell or high water. And, you know, you can't make a person straight with the state or with someone's faith. And whatever happened to in the black community, first and foremost, isn't their faith. It's to keep things real. And that has been their soul since the founding of this nation. So I think that this is just a little noise in the political situation. And it's going to be rectified. But it takes time, and it's unfortunate that some people wandered off the reservation, as Michael mentioned last night. But
Yeah. And you know, it's also interesting to point out that this Proposition 8, while it has passed, in California, in order for this thing to actually become law, you have to have a constitutional convention. The legislature has to actually vote, two-thirds majority, vote to say, yes, we think this is a good proposition, the one that passed. And then the people, all the people, have to vote again once the legislature. And the reason they did that is because, as you just said perfectly, if we want to have the Popeye Initiative or the Dog Do Initiative or the Sphincter Initiative, you know, we can have propositions out the yin-yang, but you can't just make them law because a mob throws a bunch of money behind something and declares it to be the winner.
The state is not in the business of sanctioning a religion, any religion. Historically, whatever happened to that separation? And no one's asking individuals to accept, personally accept a person's marriage as, you know, what their own faith. What they're saying is, why don't you just mind your own business?
Yeah, it seems reasonable. And you're a grown-up, my friend. You are a grown-up. And that's the plot of the play here. It's time for us to get up off our knuckles. It's time for us to stand up and realize that we're adults here, and it is about us, and we have to act like them. And that means also protecting those who might not have the same upper hand. It's part of Civics 101. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show, 800-989-1480, 800-989-1480, 46 minutes past the hour.
Right here.
Past the hour, this is last night.
Shame on hate! Shame on hate! Shame on hate!
Almost 20,000 people showed up, and it was quite the imbroglio, I have to say. And then today, still right now, still real time throughout Los Angeles, people are demonstrating in the streets. Traffic is backed up for miles. They closed one of the freeways earlier. The cops were out with tear gas, and it's all over this Proposition 8 because most people here get it. And what they get is it's about civil rights. It is about the state sanctioning a marriage. And as the fellow just said so well earlier, the state is not in the business of saying yes or no to somebody's religion. And the Mormon Church had raised $15 million to get this thing passed, and they still have a tax-free exemption. But as you know, the Episcopal Church, actually here in Pasadena a couple of years ago, was saying, you know, war is probably a bad thing, and the IRS came down on them so fast. So it's always good to pay attention, close attention. Let's say hi to Alexandria on KTLK in Los Angeles. You're on the Mike Malloy Show. Welcome.
Hi, Gitto.
Hi there.
I caught up originally because I was so furious over Prop 8. I've been with the same guy 30 years and married 24 years, and we're both pissed over this. And I had no idea this stuff was going on with the traffic and everything. I didn't know that many people felt the way we do, that this is a clear-cut case of civil rights violation. And that last guy was really, really on the mark. The other guy, Ron, I would like to bitch-slap him from here to Tulsa. You know, I mean, that guy, geez. I can't even believe how angry I am at him. He's lucky I can't run into him. I'm a small chick.
I should apologize because that's not good for me to get like that. But
no, you know what? I miss you so much. I used to listen to you all the time when you were on this station, you know, on another name.
Yeah.
And I really liked you a lot. I always wish I had talked to you then, and I'm glad to hear you now. And every once in a while I hear you on KPFK, but my husband and my son went to the Gandhi thing. I didn't go because I have weird hours.
Yeah.
But I said, you must go to this. You must go to this. And they went to that thing that you organized, which so many people don't know about. And that was great.
We had 10,000 listeners show up.
Babe, what you did was incredible.
And fun.
And
Abby,
you know what?
Good.
I wish somebody in the news had covered it. Because I'm telling you, you know, you're talking about this thing with honey, with the women,
yeah.
And you felt like you let them down. No, you didn't let them down. Because I am sure they love you as much as I love you, and I don't even really know you except as, you know, a radio person. But I think we women are smart. I think they knew, and they didn't care because they just liked you as a person.
Hmm.
I think they just accepted you, whatever, because I don't know you really, but I think I do. And I think that you are so much more loved than you'll ever know. Okay? And
well, hey, thank you. I know the people are wrenching and puking right now hearing this.
I'm telling you, I think that is the way folks say. I don't even hardly ever get on the radio thing because, you know, it's a long wait and everything, which I don't mind, but it's, you know, it's long.
Well, you waited an hour, and I thank you for that. And I thank
you.
No,
I want you to feel like, don't worry about these women, because I'm sure these women care for you in a way maybe you don't understand. And they knew what was going on, and that didn't matter because we women are smart. And if someone is a good person, and I really think you are, that's good enough for us.
Well, thank you, Alexandria. Thank you so much for calling in. Really appreciate your kind comments. And, you know, politically speaking, you know, I think it is definitely time to start canoeing on a river of estrogen, because the more nurturers we get in power right now, the faster the fix to our economy, to our social situation, to our abysmal educational system, our abysmal medical condition. It's a condition. It is really an illness, our medical climate right now. It is unbelievable the way we have permitted this thing to get out of hand. And so nurturing this thing back to health is the way to do it rather than ripping it apart, beating on it. It just simply doesn't work. It's time for all of us to make nice in our big sandbox because you know what? This is kind of the end. You know, if we don't fix this now, I mean, what with environmental issues and everything else, this is really it. How's that for happy talk? Woohoo! 57 past the hour. Hang on, Heather in Phoenix, John in Missouri, Jim in New Haven, Connecticut, Gary in Philly, and everybody else. 1-800-989-1480. 1-800-989-1480. Harrison with you in for Mike Malloy. My website, goharrison.com. One word, goharrison.com. Say hi whenever you can. Hang on, more to come. Minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show live from our Nova M radio studios in Hollywood. Just got getting tons of texts and emails here. The news headline is thousands protest over Prop 8, LAPD on tactical alert. So now, throughout the entire city of Los Angeles, and if you've never seen this place, it is massive, virtually a 50-mile-long suburb, and the police are on tactical alert throughout the entire city because people are poured out on the streets all over the city protesting Proposition 8, very simply a civil rights issue. Now, one of the reasons for the protest is obvious. Rights were actually granted and then removed. Before, when there were no rights, people protested in order to create them. But this is probably the first time that rights have actually been taken away. And that stings huge on everybody. Because if you can take rights away from one group of people, you can take rights away from all the people. Always simple. Legal thing, it's called a precedent. And we're all seriously screwed. That's the problem here at large. And it's an extraordinary amalgam of different complexions, different ethnicities, different religions, all marching together for civil rights. It really is a beautiful moment, despite the Mormon Church, who saw fit to raise $15 million to create a political move and yet enjoys a tax-free status. It's a miracle if you ever wanted to see one. Let's say hi to John on Sirius Satellite Radio in Missouri. You're on the Mike Malloy Show. Welcome. John.
Yeah.
Go ahead, please.
Oh, I just wanted to start out by saying you were talking about the 14th Amendment earlier. What do you think about liberals violating my Second Amendment right?
Well, I don't know that you have not been allowed to keep your gun. Have you been forced to get rid of your gun, my friend?
No, the fully automatic weapons are illegal. It doesn't specify what firearms are legal.
Let's take a second and just review what the intent of the Founding Fathers were in the Second Amendment. Do you know why they created that, what they said about it?
Well, every American has the right to protect themselves, and
from
what if we...
From
anything, from
well,
the government.
Not, yeah, there you go. That's it. That's exactly right. It was because they had just left Fat George or King George III, who would storm into people's houses, who would put his troops in their houses, and it was felt that if the American public got lazy, the government would get too strong and we had a right to protect ourselves if they decided to violate us. So owning a gun is pure and simple about protecting yourself from a tyrannical government. It is not about being able to shoot a deer with an AK-47, as fun as that may be.
Well, it's I believe it's my God-given right, just like it's
God-given?
Yes.
God, well, why don't we just give guns then to all the humans on Earth if God wishes them to be fully armed to take each other's lives? I believe there's a commandment, thou shalt not kill. Unless, what is the gun for when
there's
used
also,
as properly labeled?
Seriously,
what is a gun?
Two men shall not lay together.
What?
Two men shall not lay together. What about that?
You want to talk about that? I'd love to. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
Okay.
And you're paraphrasing there, and you pulled it out of context. What is the story that's going on around that, and why is that passage in there?
Well, I'm not really sure about that.
Okay. And that's important. It's important for you to know, and I know you want to know, and I know you don't want to say anything that might not sound so smart, right? What that is, in context, is, as you know, they were nomadic people. There was limited food and water, and mortality rates were huge. It was very hard to have a baby and have it survive. There was rampant disease. There simply wasn't enough nourishment. You're walking in a lot of desert. It's a horrible living condition. They believed back then that a man had a finite amount of seed, because remember, it's about spilling seed, an equal sin. A man laying with a man is not that that's objectionable. It's called sterile sex. In other words, it doesn't fertilize an egg and create a new person when mortality rates are so high. So it was about saving seed. It wasn't about that that's icky. It was purely. And then, as you know, and ask your grandmother about this, in her generation, they were raised and taught that there was something known as a homunculus. Have you heard of a homunculus?
I have not.
They believed up until the very beginning of last century, so the 1900s, that a sperm was a tiny little human being and that you injected it into the woman and it grew into a big human being. And that's what they believed. And so this is the history. And when we understand how hard it was simply to stay alive back in those days and what the belief systems are, we can understand why it would make sense saying spilling your seed in any way but to create a new life is really not a good idea. Limited life, every sperm is sacred, use every one of them to fertilize an egg. So it's not about, it's just wrong for two men or even man and a woman to do it with a condom. It's the same thing. You're impeding the seed from creating a life. That's why condoms are bad in the Catholic Church in many ways.
Okay, well, either way, if we're violating Amendment 14, then the liberals are definitely violating the Second Amendment.
Technically, you're right. If in fact your assault weapons and aircraft carriers in your backyard and all of that, I think the reason that those laws happened was that there was rampant misbehavior and it was humans that were being taken out, and it was felt that without adult supervision and without people taking real personal responsibility, it was very difficult to let these things get flooded out into the street where people are very likely to actually use them even more. So once again, we kind of do it to ourselves in that way. I'm not excusing it particularly, but once again, it was abused. And if we believe that life is sacred and we're starting to take each other's lives, we probably as a group step in and deal with it. I may be wrong here.
Some people's lives need to be taken, though.
Well, okay. So once you state that, and once you say that that's how you really view the world, then it sort of makes sense that the adults in the equation might say that you're not the kind of kid in the sandbox who ought to be given an AK-47 because you're going to use it.
Well, I have an AK-47.
Well, okay. And what kind of people do you think need to or have earned the right to not have the right to life?
Well, if they're attacking me or my family or even you. If I see you in public and I see an attacker attacking you, I'll shoot him for you.
Right. Well, I don't think taking a life is that overkill, so to speak, pun?
Well, if he's going to take your life, why can't I take his instead? If you're a harmless, you know,
I get that. I get that. But I don't think you probably need an automatic machine gun or a Schmeisser MP subautomatic or, you know, any sort of really machine gun to handle sort of usual and customary skirmishes.
No, but you definitely need a semi-automatic.
Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. I mean, I don't live in your neighborhood in Missouri there, where obviously there is so much killing and massacre and crime rates are spiraling wildly out of control. And every second you're out in public, your very life is threatened. I can see why you would need weapons like that.
My,
I'm, of course, in the middle of a big city.
Never threatened because I'm never unarmed.
Okay. You know, I get it. I mean, I see where you're coming from. I do get it. I do get it. And technically, you do have the right to bear arms. The Second Amendment does not say limited to. So I get it. Just like free speech has been limited, however, in certain ways. You're not allowed to yell fire in a movie theater because people got trampled in the past and killed. So when you use the Bill of Rights, when you use an amendment that is supposed to give rights and you use it to take away somebody else's rights, it then gets limited. Same with your AK-47. When you use it to protect yourself, but you end up taking away somebody else's life, liberty, freedom, and luxury, then it gets limited. So it's just about us having personal responsibility and making nice. If we can't do that, the grown-ups step in and modify it. And on that note, I wish you well, my friend, and try not to kill anybody one day at a time. 15 minutes past the hour. Make that 16 past the hour. It's the Mike Malloy Show. Harrison in with you from our Nova M Hollywood studios. 800-989-1480. Our number here, 800-989-1480. You can visit me anytime at GoHarrison.com. One word, GoHarrison.com. And right now, the Los Angeles police is on tactical alert throughout the city as American citizens are demonstrating. It's a nice day.
Every sun is sacred, every sun is great. If the sun is wasted, God is quite irate.
Rolling down Imperial Highway, the big nasty sitting at my side. Santa Ana winds blowing hot from the north. We were born to ride. Roll down the window, put down the top, crank up the beach boys, baby. Don't let the music stop. We go and ride it till we just can't ride it no more.
We love L.A., especially tonight. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show. I am in our Hollywood Nova M studios. Mike's got a bit of a cold tonight. He'll be back in a flash. And we're taking a look at some extraordinary event that is happening here. The Los Angeles Police Force, citywide. We're a 50-mile-long city. Just really one of the largest cities on Earth, absolutely. The police are on high tactical alert throughout the entire city. It's almost a revisit of the Compton riots many years ago. Nothing is being burnt down, of course, but gays and straights alike are marching by the thousands all over the city protesting the abnegation of civil rights. And again, the thing that really is poignant here is that never before has somebody actually taken away rights. It's one thing to try to go get them. That's always been the tradition. But it's another to grant somebody full humanity, as the Supreme Court of California did, and then have a bunch of folks from the Mormon Church and a bunch of, you know, underappreciative folks decide to literally take rights away from other taxpaying Americans. And that actually is so overt, so right in the face, that it's stinging now. And so people are showing up in mass. The cops are on tactical alert. As I look out our studio window here, we have helicopters everywhere with the huge floodlights down on the roads. It is completely out of control. You might want to go to, like, I'm going to put a link on my website at GoHarrison.com as soon as we get off the air. GoHarrison.com, and it'll be a running video of this afternoon, the storming of the Mormon temple, and then the federal building in L.A., massive, and the demonstrations. The entire freeway, the 405, which is huge, goes halfway down the state, was closed in throughout Los Angeles, and traffic has been backed up for miles. So an extraordinary day for democracy, for civil rights. It reminds us of Mexico City about a year and a half ago. Do you remember people showed up by the millions during the elections? That's people who are paying attention. So pretty exciting indeed. Let's say hi to Jim in New Haven, Connecticut. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome. Hey there, Jim.
Hello.
Hey. Hello. Go ahead, my friend.
Hello. Oh, okay.
Or do you want me to do more Larry King? Jim, hello.
Hello.
Does that feel better?
I wanted to say that when a lot of times you get an argument this heated, that people are afraid that no one's listening to them. To the minister, Pastor Reverend, who said he was for traditional marriage, religious marriage, I hear him. I understand him. I have read the Bible backwards and forwards. I'm looking for the passage that says, man shall marry woman, and God shall grant thee a tax credit on your W-2. I'm looking for that verse.
It's in Philatia 9.
Huh?
It's in there somewhere. They'll tell you. I'm going to play you as soon as we're done, or actually after the bottom of the news, I'm going to play a little dialogue. I got into a big one last night with some of the pro-Prop 8 people, asking them to please explain, Lucy, exactly what you're saying, my friend in Connecticut. And aren't you calling from one of the original colonies, you poignant guy? And you will fully, I think, appreciate the back and forth and the complete inanity of their argument. Because
right. I think what they have to understand, since obviously they've just proven that once you have something, it can get taken away. All right, if you don't want to grant the rights to gays that you have in a legal marriage, then if it's not in the Bible, all of those benefits that you straight heterosexual men and women have, taken away. Unless it's specified in the Bible, you don't have it anymore. You don't get the tax credits. You don't get all the other stuff. You want what it says in the Bible, that's all.
Yeah, you know, Levitican code would be a very difficult life to lead. I would have been assassinated a million times for just wearing multi-fibered, you know, sweaters. But one of the things we have to look at is an easy way to fully understand what's going on here. Just take the word gay out and replace it, let's say, with Italian. Proposition 8, Italians are not allowed to get married in the United States. Ooh, it's pretty clear, isn't it? Are you there, my friend? Oh, cell phone, beautiful thing. It's the same thing. If you just switch the word, switch the noun to whatever you personally are, you suddenly get what this is all about, right? All about. How about Gary? Nope. Who do you want me to go to, my friend? Oh, why don't we do that? It is 26 minutes past the hour. Number here, 800-989-1480 on the Mike Malloy Show. 1-800-989-1480. Harrison with you as we open it up and continue the fun, frolic, mayhem, and merriment of civil rights and people actually showing up en masse by the thousands throughout of Los Angeles, where the police are now on full tactical alert. And understand, while we're hearing each other's voices right now, this is happening live. Live. It's extraordinary. Hang on, more to come. Four minutes past the hour. It's the Mike Malloy Show. Harrison with you live from our, since it is Hollywood, live from our Hollywood Nova M studios. Taking a look at a really an extraordinary day. If you happen to be living in Los Angeles, you'll know what I'm talking about. I'm not sure what kind of coverage is going on around the country, but something extraordinary has happened. The L.A. police force is on high tactical alert right now. People are protesting all over the city. Traffic is backed up, and they're marching for civil rights because for the first time, in a very real way, rights that were granted have been taken away from a group of tax-paying citizens. And as I said earlier, the way to fully understand it, you know, no gay marriage, well, just swap it. Whatever your heritage is, if you're Italian, no Italians are allowed to get married. Ooh, I get it. That's pretty clear. Kind of an easy way to look at it. I'm going to play you a piece of audio last night when the first 10,000 of us showed up. I am a bit of a rabble-rouser, as I told you earlier, and apologized for this, by the way, when I was on the NBC station here. They asked me last night, so now what's next? I said, well, we need to storm the Mormon temple as if it were the Bastille. Oh, really? When is that? 2 o'clock. There'll be 6,000 of us. Well, we're now in a high tactical alert. Half the city is gridlocked. I mean, this is not really good, but it's kind of fun when you think about it. When in doubt, agitate it out. So that's kind of what's going on. So I got together with some of the pro-Prop 8 people who were standing there holding signs saying they would try to convert me into a heterosexual, which, by the way, I used to pretend to do that. I did it rather well. But you know what? I really love women, and why should they have to put up with that crap? You know what I mean? If you don't want gay marriage, then you sure don't want us marrying your women, right? You want more good product out there on the market? Let the gays get married. Get it? And you know what I'm talking about. So this is last night, a wonderful confabulation where they're explaining to me exactly how it works.
So you're married, right?
Hello, Harrison. Yes, we got married October 12th.
And this is your partner right there.
Partner, Jesse.
That's the back of his head. Jesse, you're a mister, too. Mr. and Mr.
Mr. and Mr. We haven't figured out our last name yet, but that'll come soon.
Well, just hyphenate it many times.
It's very long.
Now, you
very
guys
long.
Were around Hollywood and Highland and all of that in front of CNN, banging on the windows.
Right.
This is an amazing day for me,
it's
finally,
amazing.
To see all of us suit up and show up. And apparently there was some violence of some sort, allegedly. Did you see any...
Allegedly. What I saw were three squadrons of riot cops in full riot gear moving in on the crowds.
People showing up, a lot of them are straight. I am absolutely amazed to see how many showed up, because Hollywood is not a gay haven. West Hollywood, yes.
Yes.
Regular Hollywood, no.
I think somebody made a great point tonight in the discussion, and it said bigotry comes in every color, every race. So does the support for people who are against Prop 8. People, anybody with any sense realizes
that. Oh, I'm playing the wrong one.
A basic,
you know what?
Human
I right. Take that back. I'm sorry. That's not the one I wanted, but that's an example of some of the people that we were with last night. This is the tete-a-tete with the pro-Prop 8 people. That was my fault, Ian. Don't want you to feel embarrassed there. I threw the wrong ball, as it were. The right ball is this one. Cut one. Do you have that one, my friend? Oh, well, I do. Here
the
it is.
The devil is tempting these women.
Nope, I take that back. Well, isn't this Radio 101? Uh-huh. Okay, here we go.
Harrison on the Edge, Nut Update.
God commands me to flee youthful lust, which war against the soul. I have to be able to turn my life over. If God is giving me a free entrance to heaven, forgiveness of all my sins, I have to be able to say, God, whatever you want, I'm going to do things your way.
Here's a question, because a lot of people aren't going to understand. A lot of people are going to say, really, what you're talking about is a group of people who don't want to procreate, a group of people who choose not to screw, say, your heterosexual women. I mean, that's really the problem. If these gay guys were out there having sex with your women, you wouldn't be standing here upset, would you? I mean, you wouldn't be wearing a sign saying if they ask you how to go straight, you can tell them, right?
Well, living a
God
life...
God made some people eunuchs, which would infer that God made some people from birth that didn't have...
You mean imply?
Yes, that God... Jesus said, God said that God... Apparently, Jesus
is
saying...
Let's take a second at your sign here. There is hope. Jesus loves you, and through him you can go straight. Please ask you how. How did you become an expert on homosexuality?
I'm not referring specifically to homosexuality.
But your sign says, ask you how to go straight. So I would ask you, are you gay? There's a gay girl next to me. I'm going to ask you, like your sign says, how does she go straight? You know how to take away her biological drive, her genetics, her DNA. You know how to alter her into a procreation machine. How do you do that?
That's not what I don't my solution.
I have no bad feelings against y'all. I mean, you're right.
Yeah, I'm just curious about information because you say here you know how to make somebody go straight. Can you just wave a magic wand, put some non fairy dust on it?
They have to want it.
But if they're supposed to be that way by nature, I mean, this fellow over here said that he agrees that nature definitely plays a part. If by nature, then you're asking them to go against nature, which would be against God's design. So wouldn't that be a problem, a bifurcation in the argument?
God made them gay. I didn't say God made people gay. I just meant that he made some people that they weren't attracted to the opposite sex. There's a difference.
Okay, well, so what do you call that?
God, Jesus calls it a eunuch.
Eunuch has no procreative ability. In other words, typically a eunuch is created by other humans. In other words, the testicles are removed, usually as an act of violence or as a guard, say, for women in high places. So Jesus is not saying that gay people are eunuchs. Not by any stretch did he say that. We know for sure it's actually not in the Bible.
No, actually... I've seen it over and over there.
New English Bible.
So it was made by Americans. They made it up and put it in a Bible that was it in the Greek Bible, the original?
They didn't speak English.
So we're rewriting the Bible to fit our argument, is that right? Our religious argument?
Back to the unit thing.
No, let's answer the question. Okay. Is the Bible being rewritten to fit, say, your argument?
It's retranslated in a modern-day language.
It doesn't need to be translated. It's in English already, King James. It's in real, actual English. It's being rewritten to fit an argument. Why do you need to rewrite English into English?
So what you're saying is the context would change the actual meaning of what's clearly being spoken?
Just like anything in your life, the context of why you're standing here is because you're bored on a Friday night.
The people were living in sin, in that type of sin.
No, that's not what it says in the Bible around that passage, is it?
The Corinthians were living...
We're not talking Corinthians.
Hypocrites, the clear sinners, everybody's condemned if they're not completely giving God their whole life. And not...
let's talk about your own psychosexual appetite here. What brings you to the point where you have such an incredible and intense obsession with what two naked gay men do together?
They had to kind of drag me out here. This isn't... There are people out here, and we just met a guy that wanted out of the homosexual abomination.
Wouldn't death be better for him? I mean, why not just help him kill himself?
We didn't write the rules. We're just taking what God gave us.
So you're telling me that God told you to walk around with these signs saying, you're going to hell, God hates you, die, fag, die, and AIDS cures non-believers. AIDS cures non-believers. That other sign there says, I can make you straight. In other words, you as a mortal human being have the power to change the fundamental nature of this man and make him more in your image. And if he bows before your version of God, he's going to be changed.
He will be if he's
has... If you can make him heterosexually, says, listen, if you're your daughter, I'll go straight. Would you let him?
Well, If he will have sex with her.
Is it worth it to you to see him go straight that much?
Oh, sure.
So what you're telling me is that you would take your own daughter, your own flesh and blood, and pimp her out? Like throw her on the sidewalk and let some complete stranger...
Right, absolutely, absolutely.
So that you could have your way? What kind of father are you? What kind of human being are you?
Well, living... a life of sexual purity, we believe.
I'd like to answer that about why we're out here. Most Christians have written this crowd off, and they think, well, they're going to hell, and let them go, and we're not going to try to even reach them. But we're not that way, and we believe there's a lot of people here that God is going to reach into heaven. And
what do you think? What do you think of the Jews that are here?
They can go to heaven too.
What do you think? They're going to go to heaven?
They don't believe the Savior has risen and come back to...
What happens to them?
It's just like the blood over the door frame in Egypt. Those that didn't have the blood on their door frame were had death in their home.
This woman standing here is a Buddhist, and she believes in the inner light and doing the right thing in the world and being kind. And how would you feel personally knowing, like watching her be killed? Would you feel bad as a person?
When they die and they go to the gate.
Harrison on the Edge, Nut Update.
Oh my, is all I can say. It is 44 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you, the Mike Malloy Show, live from our Hollywood Nova M Studios. Our number 1-800-989-1480, 1-800-989-1480. Next, we've got Dan in Wisconsin and Heather in Phoenix, Luke in Missouri, Chris in Chicago, Gary in Philly, and everyone else. You can always get in touch with me anytime at GoHarrison.com. One word, GoHarrison.com. And I tell you what, it is an extraordinary day. Thousands of people across L.A., the police on high tactical alert, marching for civil rights. It looks like a scene out of Selma, Alabama. It looks like it's just swell. That's all I can say. Hang on, more to come. Past the hour, Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show. 1-800-989-1480, our numbers here. And a momentous day, and I know I'm just beating a dead moose here. That's a Palin kind of homage there. I was just talking to Mercy Malick, who's an actress here in Hollywood, who's sitting here, and she is stunningly gorgeous. I realize it's completely shallow, but I'm still male. Having a pretty girl in the Hollywood studio, I tell you, it makes the show nice. And we were talking, and she was saying, you know, I'm amazed the elections actually happened. Like, they actually happened. And I think we were all surprised. Thank God they're over. And, you know, pat yourself on the, wherever you pat yourself. Whatever that means. Because you did it. You did good. And truly, things are changing. I mean, my God, we got near riots in L.A. Isn't it exciting? Woo-hoo! For civil rights. Say hi to Gary on XM in Philadelphia. You're on the Mike Malloy Mike, and let me try that. That was the Mike Malloy Show, all is one word, the Mushroom Show. With Harrison, welcome. Gary.
Hi.
Hey.
Yeah.
It's your turn.
Hello,
go.
Sir.
Hi there.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hey, I really wish you were on XM all the time, like on the time slot before Mike Malloy.
Well, you never know, unless you do.
I agree with everything that you're saying. I grew up Catholic in central Pennsylvania, and I'm sort of confessing here. When I was in the Army at 19, I met a fellow from San Francisco, and I was really hard on him, and I
so
was
to
a
speak.
Real bigot.
Uh-huh.
I was a complete bigot. I was an a-hole because of my upbringing. Later on, I ended up over in Germany, and I met a fella. He was a gay black man. He was our radio repair guy.
Mm-hmm. Like me.
Oh yeah. No, well, he was a. I was in an infantry unit, a mechanized infantry unit,
yeah.
And this guy would come into our cracks when we came in, and he would set everything, and he would check everything out, and you know, I was in a line unit. I was always in a line unit.
And so you found he was a great guy.
Yeah, he was a gay black man,
uh-huh.
And he lived sort of like a hermit in the barracks. And around the time that I noticed that, I had a roommate who liked to watch porn. And I really liked the girl-girl stuff.
Uh-oh.
And one night I was sitting watching
that. That's technically
that.
What? Homosexual.
Yes. And one night I was sitting there watching that, and I started thinking, boy, this makes me a hypocrite. What in the world, to think of yourself as a hypocrite for the first time, and I guess I was about 23.
Wow.
And the next day when I saw the fella, his name was Stoney. I really hope I helped his life. But I talked to him, and I invited him to a vomit party at our room, and I had my squad there. The fellows in my squad, they were all younger than me. And there were a few guys that didn't understand that. And eventually, though, Stoney became part of the society in our company rather than where he was before, where he was an outcast.
Yeah, you made him a part of rather than apart from. That is so thank you for your evolution. Thanks for this story. I would love to do a show sometime where we're anonymously get to tell stories like this, stories of what we did anonymously and how we've transformed. I mean, it is the coolest stuff to hear where people started and where they end up. I think we have time to squeeze in one more. Say hi to Heather on KPHX in Phoenix. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Welcome.
Hey, Harrison, this is Heather, and yes, I have been listening to you for a little while, and I have to say your story that you had, the clip that you played, you are now my new hero. That was just, you've said everything I've been trying to say to people. I'm a Phoenix native or an Arizona native, and if you know anything about Arizona, we are the Stepford Wives State, I would like to say, or the junior Stepford Wives State in comparison to Utah. So, and actually, I come from a very interesting background. Half my family is Mormon, and the other half is Jewish. And the half that is Mormon, actually, I have one gay aunt, and my father is gay. And
that'll show him.
Yeah, right? And then here's the granddaughter of the family, me, you know, and oh, lo and behold, I'm gay. So,
good
I mean,
heavens.
Yeah. Something in the water, maybe, right?
I hope.
But the thing I had to say was, first off, when I heard that the prop was, I guess, people voted yes. And
yes.
That, you know, that I just, especially of all states like California, I was completely shocked. You would think at least, you know, but I guess that's me stereotyping. Arizona, in my opinion, is kind of expected. It's a nice hope, you know, but yeah. So I am so proud to hear people out there. I would love to be there. I'm definitely there in spirit, and I'm there in this phone call.
I totally get it. And let me offer you this thought. Now that you've seen, I mean, in L.A., let's face it, we sit, we watch TV, we're lazy like everyone else. To
right.
See thousands of people get up and do this is such an extraordinary thing in Hollywood, I can't tell you. This is the lesson, the lesson of 9/11, as Bush would say. This is the lesson. We really are at the self-serve pump politically. And if we want something, we have to go get it. They're not going to deliver rights. You must go get them. This is what Dr. King taught us. It's really simple. Suit up and show up, and it works out. Harrison with you in for Mike Malloy. Have had, as always, a wonderful time. Such a treat. Love Mike. Love the wonderful group of people he has cultivated over the years. You guys are absolutely amazing. You can visit me anytime at GoHarrison.com. One word, GoHarrison.com. Have a great night. And remember, when in doubt, agitate it out.